Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you our hearts are opened, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
I think you may be, if you're reading, either Sandy or Rufus, you're muted.
Sorry
about that. A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastland far away, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd of flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their weeping mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
The hymn, the psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 84, and Rufus will respond by half verse. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts.
My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young.
By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your house.
They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you,
whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs.
For the early rains have covered it with pools of water.
They will climb from height to height.
And the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion.
Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer.
Hearken, O God of Jacob.
Behold our defender, O God.
And look upon the face of your anointed.
For one day in your courts is better than 1,000 in my own room.
And to stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked.
For the Lord God is both sun and shield.
He will give grace and glory.
No good thing will the Lord withhold
from those who walk with integrity.
O Lord God of hosts,
happy are they who put their trust in you.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. After the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Each time I read this collect for today, I want to finish the first phrase with "created and restored the human race." But it's not that. It's not that God created and restored the human race, but that God created and restored the dignity of human nature. That might sound like hair splitting on my part, but I don't think so. The twofold miracle here is that God wonderfully created the dignity of our human nature in the first place, and then, even more wonderfully, restored our dignity. One metaphorical way of viewing this is that God created Adam and Eve out of mud in the Garden of Eden, making them the crown of creation, the crowning act of a week-long creation project. Then, quicker than you can say, "But don't eat this," they throw a monkey wrench into God's plan. God says, "No more Eden for you," and they start to make their way in the world with some pretty spectacular missteps, failures, sins, whatever we choose to call them, right out of the box. But the nature of our Creator is the epitome of the love, patience, mercy, and dignity of which we aspire. Continuing the biblical story, God did not simply wash those divine mud-sculpting hands and say, "Well, that was a bust," and move on to the next project. No, instead, the whole biblical story after that is one of immense love and interventions to save us humans from ourselves, flood Exodus, prophets telling us what would happen if we persisted in our greed and lust for power, and more and more. And then God made a dramatic move to reset this all to its pristine beginning by entering the world as a human being, born into the world as every girl and baby boy has been born. And by doing that, showing us that this is what the dignity of human nature looks like. Crossing all artificial human barriers, such as in ethnicity, class, nationality, gender, God in Christ made clear that we are all worthwhile. We are all loved. We are all meant to love each other. All of this and more is revealed to us in Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah, Moses, Isaiah, and Jesus, to name some of those characters, including the most important one. Another way of viewing this whole business of the creation and restoration of the dignity of human nature is to look at our own lives, starting at the purest point, our birth into the world. Obviously, dignity here has nothing to do with outer circumstances or the tiny part of the world into which each of us is born. Not our parents, nor our community or tribe, but the simple, straightforward beauty and dignity of a new human life. And then that whole being alive in the world thing begins for each of us. Some of us have more advantages immediately than others do, and that was without doubt. But each of us has that divine spark at our center. Whether we're born into great privilege or abject poverty, though, each of us makes decisions that cloud over the dignity of our nature with which we were born. Whether we try to explain it on the basis of upbringing, environment, or genetics is immaterial. Each of us eventually makes decisions that reflect the love of God, and each of us makes decisions and takes actions that fly in the face of that original dignity into which we were created. This is not a narrative about depraved humanity. It's just an observation that every single one of us has the potential for dignity affirming and dignity negating thoughts, feelings, and actions. To make it more confusing, both types are mixed up in various proportions in much of what we say and do. The nexus of the stained glass biblical version and the earthly individual human version is God's unrelenting restorative love. For us Christians, that love finds its perfection in Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate at this time every year. When we pay attention, and sometimes even when we're completely oblivious, we feel some nudge of that divine love, that restoration of our human dignity. It can happen in some more or less formal event, such as a wedding or a celebration of the Holy Eucharist, and also in the welling up in us as we have helped someone to solve a problem or have been helped by someone in dealing with our own problems. This sense of dignity, let's call it a close connection of our own little individual cell of humanity with someone else's, can accompany a simple greeting and a smile while saying Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, or Happy New Year. We remember in our very marrow that we are meant to be connected to each other, to all humanity, to all of creation, and thus connected to our Creator. We might remember that such a connection is God's more wonderful restoration of the dignity of our human nature. Paul tells the Ephesians and us that all this is a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know Christ. Or we might say more simply, as we come to know in each other God's restoration of the dignity of human nature with which we were created. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God,
light from light, true God from true God,
begotten, not made, of one being with the Father.
Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation,
he came down to heaven.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For us and for us, he was crucified
under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures,
and he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord,
the giver of life, who proceed from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers of the people. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all families in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Kay, Jeff, and Hector, our bishops. For Michael, our priest, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We pray for Bob, John, Nancy, Morgan, David, Judy, Bob, Gary, June, Cheryl, Carolyn, Jill, Mary, Deb, John, Alan, James, Lynn, Kristen, Patrick, Dale, Karen, Gail, Abigail, Robin, Virginia, Maureen, Janet, for Diane, Kenyon, Sarah, Lindsay, Carol, Justin, Sheila, Donna, Donald, Caitlin, Marianne, Joe, Jim, Travis, and for Van, Ann, Jenny, Alice, Ellie, Leah, Merle, Cerise, RG, Rashonda, Cindy, Betty, Melissa, Dawn, Connie, Charles, Patty, Ryan, William, Winifred, Shelley, Leslie, Doug, Butch, Michael, Linda, Calvin, Thomas, Carolyn, Ed, the Dugatier family, Jamie, Joe, Greg, Mark, Bonnie and Ed, Dan, Amber and family, Carol, Martha and family. And with those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Trevor, James, Kevin, Chris, Jared, Brian, Jonathan, Eric, all in harm's way, and with those who are traveling this week. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, and especially for the anniversary of Jill and Thomas Castillo today, and for the birthday of Nathan Guthrie, Karen Leach, and those and of Rufus Arrington, Thomas Castillo. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, especially Roy Oakley, Judy Kirkendall, Desmond Tutu, Betty White, and all those who have died from the coronavirus, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. We pray for all who mourn for their passing. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
As we prepare to pray for the forgiveness of sin, I invite your petitions and thanksgiving. You may unmute yourself if you want to do that aloud or silently. I ask your prayers for Ken.
Thanksgiving for our wonderful Christmas with our family.
And thanksgiving for Jamie, our granddaughter recovering from COVID, back to normal.
We pray to you also, O Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, and your compassion forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit that we may live and serve you in newness of life to the honor and glory of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please unmute yourselves, all of you, and we'll let the audio chips fall where they may. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. Jesus.
Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace.
Love you. Peace, everybody.
Peace,
everybody.
Peace.
Happy Peace New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. I kind of miss that. I kind of miss that mess of sound, actually, very much. I hear it more clearly here than I do in church, I think. So now what's going to happen is, I'll tell you. A couple of things. I'm going to say a blessing, and then Otis is going to play hymn 93 for us, which we will all sing, muted, unless we want to perform for the rest of the group that's assembled. And then before the dismissal, I think Carol Weathers has said she would like to say something or do something or something. So, in that order that I just mentioned, may Christ, who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly, fill you with his joy and peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Everybody find Carol on your screen. There she is. See her? There's Carol waving to us. And you can unmute yourself, Carol, and tell us what's up.
Good morning. I just want to tell you that we forgot to do something at the Christmas service. And I would like for all to know that St. Anne's has a gift for Michael. And I'm going to hand him a red envelope with his gift in it. Michael, thank you very much.
How cool is
Merry
that?
Christmas.
And look, I haven't opened it because
oh, good.
Because
you can
I
open
just
it.
Got it. So I'm doing that now. Let me see. Here's a card.
I can't see Michael.
You can't.
You can't.
He's no, right there.
I can see is Otis.
Well, maybe
oh, you
you're on maybe you're on speaker view.
Yeah, go up.
Are you on speaker up. View, Ellie?
I don't have a clue.
Go to your right hand corner, upper corner.
I have often also been without a clue.
Well, so Merry Christmas, Michael.
Take my word for it.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, it says peace, love, joy, and there's something stuck in it. On the inside, it says, the best gifts of Christmas season are the ones that stay with us all year. Hope this Christmas brings lots of love into your world. Dear Michael, thank you for the love you bring to Epiphany. Merry Christmas, St. Anne's Guild. And that's why I tore the thing off that was stuck in there. And here's the thing that was stuck in there, so you know. And I'm really grateful for that. Thank
it's
you, St. Anne's
down.
Guild.
It's upside down. There you go.
Oh, that's so funny because I get it. Thank you all very much. I appreciate that. And I will put to good use. Now I think, I have a little correction to make too. Instead of going peace to love and serve the Lord, which I hope you'll always do, or I'm going to say the one that we usually use at, when we're on Zoom alone. But your response is the same. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, I should have. Here, let's do that again. Everybody unmute yourselves. I'm still playing around with the tape here. So it'll take a second. That was our dress rehearsal for the dismissal. Here it comes. There's an Arlo Guthrie song when he says, oh, it's Alice's restaurant, where he says, oh, wait for the next verse. Here it comes. So, all right. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That's more like it. That's great. Thank you, God.